We'll begin today's edition of Chapter and Verse with this thought from Mike McIntosh.
And I think it's so great that you and I can just collect Jesus and ask Him in one time, and He's there forever. And He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And no matter what comes in front of us, nothing. God before us, who in this world can be against us? So we got power on our side.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Chapter and Verse Radio with our teacher, Mike McIntosh. From the book of Hebrews, we read in chapter 13, verse 5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." Through the storms of life, you can cry out for Jesus Christ above the turbulent winds that are pounding at your heart. We all need to be freed from our fears, whatever they might be, and move through the turbulence with faith in Him. Learn not to be anxious about when the storm will end, but to have faith in Him while the storm is raging. He'll never forsake us. He may choose to still the storm or escort you safely through it, but we can be sure that there's no safer place to be than in a storm when Jesus is there with you. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 2 with our study, The Letter to the Church at Pergamos.
We're in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And we're looking at the church in Pergamos. And we're going to try to look at the church in Thyatira. And that will finish chapter 2. I don't think we'll make it in chapter 3, but we will take communion tonight. So I think Holland has brought us to a good place to prepare our hearts for communion. And when we work together, we subtly try to break down culture. Every church has its own culture. And it even can block the Lord. And if you just get going in the flow and don't interrupt it, that's when He can really do fantastic things. So it's nothing personal about you. It's just that we have purpose why we're here in front of you. And it's not to get your money or the lack of it. We're here because we love you. And we want you to learn of the Lord. Not just of the Bible, but of Him as a person, to walk with Him. It's a fantastic life to walk with Him. And to see Him and to hear Him. I had a woman in northern Iraq. She was 70. She's maybe 5 feet tall, maybe 90 pounds. She's little. And she was in a refugee center, a Catholic refugee center. And when I saw her, everything she owned, she had on. She had a bandana, a long coat, her dress, her shoes. She had her purse and anything that fit in her purse. She lived in Nineveh, which is known as Mosul in present day, but the ISIS guys went to Mosul for a reason, because it was Nineveh where Jonah went. Did you know that? And they destroyed any remembrance of the history of Jonah out of the museums and blew the museums up, many of them. Did you know that? Tried to cover that the Bible was real, that God was in that city. Just so much going on you hear about and don't really know what it's about. So this lady, when they said she's from Mosul, I went in and I sat down next to her, and she had a pillow and a little mat and one blanket. And she said, "Michael, I didn't once deny Jesus," with tears in her eyes. First day, two guys from ISIS dressed in black with their swords out. Said, "You're out of here, we're taking your house, and you're going to denounce your Jesus, and you're going to accept Allah." She slammed the door in her face. They were so shocked, they didn't know what to do, they left. The next day, two other men came back, swords drawn, same story, "We're taking your house, you're going to accept Allah or we're chopping your head off. Slam the door in her face. The third day, I think it was four guys, she told me, came this time and said, you are leaving and you'll pick up your purse and your coat and you'll leave right now. And she did exactly that. She walked maybe 70 or more miles by herself through that war zone to where I met her. And I was so touched by her because she was so petite. She couldn't fight her way out of a wet paper bag, let alone ISIS. And the ISIS guys paid the Muslims to spray paint or to mark on the houses the Arabic letter N. And you've all seen it. Usually we've seen it on bumper stickers or posters, and it's pitch black and then gold, almost like a happy face, and then a gold going straight up. And that's the letter N. And it meant Nazarene lives in this house. Not just any Jesus. The Bible says there are many Jesus, but there's only one Jesus Christ. Amen. And they wanted to kill every person that believed in Jesus of Nazareth. Are you ready for that? I mean, I looked in hundreds of faces and counseled many women that had been raped by 10 guys at a time and with knives to their throat, lost their minds. I remember one 24-year-old woman. We got 40 of them out of the refugee center, and we took them outside for the first time to a park. And the police had one area, and we had Navy SEALs that we had contracted to be with us. And there wasn't anybody getting to these girls, and we started able to minister to them. When we got to the restaurant, this long table was set up in a back room, and they hadn't been out in public for months. This one 24-year-old walked up to me and stood in front of me as I was sitting down, and she had five cell phones, just like this. And she said in her language, your phone, your phone. And there was a Navy guy standing next to me. He said, don't give her your phone. I said, I won't. Your phone, your phone. No, I can't give you my phone. No, no, your phone, your phone. She'd gone crazy. It was only because of a cell phone that she was able to call family, and they came and rescued her, the brothers and the uncles, and took care of some of the ISIS fellas that they wouldn't rape and hurt other Yazidi women. And I think of her quite often about the phone was her salvation, and so she wanted to collect cell phones. I can understand that. But I think it's so great that you and I can just collect Jesus and ask him in one time, and he's there forever. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And no matter what comes in front of us, nothing. If God be for us, who in this world can be against us? So we got power on our side. So tonight we're going to take communion. We're going to look at these churches again. And then when we finish the last three churches, in the next chapter, we go to heaven. I hope that's a prophecy. We go to heaven in the scriptures. And we don't see the church on the earth again. And chapter 4 and 5. And then we see the tribulation going to begin. And some of the things that we read as we get past the letters to the churches are already happening. I don't know if you know it or not. All the steps that need to be taken for those things to happen, they're so close to building the new temple. And that is something that has to be built for the Antichrist to come into it. And they have the plans. They've been working on that for many, many years. And now, in the last 3 years, 4 years, Jews, for the first time, have been going up on the Temple Mount and praying. And I've been on that mount where young men came up and they started throwing rocks down on the western wall of the people that were there praying. And then the police come up and the soldiers come up and scuffle. But it's changing up there. The Lord's getting ready for what he's going to do there. So there's a lot of things that are happening. You think of Sweden and Denmark. There may be some others. But they're now taking a chip to be a cashless society, and it's working quite well. And we're told that in the Bible, every person will have to have a chip in their right hand or their forehead. And they'll not be able to buy or sell without it. And if you don't take it, then you're beheaded. So we're very close to that. Our dogs have them. Maybe you have a dog with a chip in the ear or right behind the neck. They get lost. They scan something over and says, oh, this is Mike's dog. He's lost again. And they call me up and say, your dog's here. Come get him. We're really close to so many things. So that should break our hearts that we all together in this room have hundreds of people that we love that are not on their way to heaven tonight. Moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, friends, neighbors, people we work with, right? Don't you have at least five people that you know? Well, add it up. And we can't just sit around and say, well, we're saved and we're going to heaven, hallelujah, and forget everybody else. We can't do it. We've got to be about our Father's business. Be in a business-like manner. So, Father, this evening, would you just step into the middle of your word here and feed us, your sheep? Just feed us. We're your flock, and we ask that your Spirit would help us and make us grow spiritually, to be spiritually and godly men and godly women. So, Father, thank you for what you are doing, what we've seen you do here just in the last 4 weeks. And we pray you will continue doing wonderful things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So this is the letter to the church in Pergamos, and we'll start at verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write these things, saith he, which has the sharp sword, I know your works and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is, and that you hold fast my name, and you have not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto you quickly, and I'll fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I'll give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows except him that receives it. So there's a new name waiting for you, and we won't know what that is until he hands us that stone, and it's going to be a unique thing, whatever it is. Pergamos is recognized by historians and commentators, most of them, as the compromising church. And you can see compromise in the church. But it's something not just for this church, but in the church ages, you can see where the church is compromised with the world and been worldly. But the big danger for all these letters, for me, is that I could be committing these sins. I could be compromising, and I should never compromise. I could compromise my faith. I could compromise my mouth and what I'm saying. I could compromise my attitude towards people. Just the little subtleties of life. I can get a witness going. All of a sudden, people would never know as a Christian man if I let my flesh take over and say what I really wanted to say. And so we can compromise in so many different ways. And we don't want to be recognized as compromisers. We want to be recognized as overcomers. Pergamos was the actual political capital of the Roman province of Asia the Lesser. So the smaller modern world at that time of Asia that we know today, it was called Asia the Lesser. And this was the capital. So a capital has a lot of politics going. And compromise definitely happens with politics, that's for sure. But don't get into a compromise with your faith. There's nothing in this world that is worth compromising over. Nothing. Or no one at all. It was noted for culture, and it was also noted for education. In fact, there's over 200,000 volumes in their library. It was the largest library in the known world at the time. I think if you took my little library off my office, and then my office, and then my home office, I might have had 1,000, 2,000 books. But I have a friend who went to heaven and he left behind about 5,000 books in his library. And I think, can you ever read them all, or is it just the thrill of buying them all and making the new bookshelves for them? Now you can learn so much just by going on the internet. If you've never heard of Blue Letter Bible, it's really a competent place to go. It's equal to studying what you'd go to seminary for. Everything you need is there, hundreds and hundreds of resources. But I still like the page. I like to feel it and mark it and write on it and spill my coffee on it. I own it that way. But it was a very extremely religious church. Now maybe you were extremely religious family being raised. And sometimes we have people that are really religious in our families and we keep away from them. I have somebody in my family I love that been gently witnessing for several years, and they were somewhere and some guy came out of nowhere and walked right up to him and said, "So are you going to heaven?" And just really wasn't very nice of him, you know, out in public like that. And then started quoting verses. And so I got a hold of him and said, "I'm really sorry to hear about that." He said, "Well, that's okay." Just was out of touch. And he just kept going with his script, no matter what I said or tried to ignore him. And I thought of that. How many times people do have a script? And they're just going to tell what they want to tell, no matter what they think about the person. We can't do that. We're ambassadors for Christ. And to be an ambassador, you have to be tactful. I remember one time many years ago, I was helping some Christians get out of Russia, and I had to go through Washington, D.C., and pass by the White House and other places and meet with different people. And so I got into Eastern Europe, into Checkpoint Charlie, and I'd seen it in movies, and I was scared to death by myself. I had no idea who I was talking to. And it was a man I was supposed to meet, and I met him at the restaurant, and I'm pretty much aware of what's going on around me. And I said, "Are you recording our time?" He said, "No." "Are there cameras or videos going on right now? Microphones around the table or somewhere?" "No, we're all alone." He said, "Yes, just you and me." And I said, "Well then, why is it that behind that curtain right there, there's a man standing and both his feet are sticking out underneath the curtain?" And all of a sudden, those 2 feet backed up, and you could hear the guy running out of the kitchen into the back parking lot and out of town. And I had no idea who he was, but I knew that they were communists. I knew that there were spies. And so I was just looking for this family to be released. So I went to the attorney, and I sat with the attorney, and we talked. And we went back and forth. And when we were all finished, he said, "Well, this was a very productive time." I said, "Well, thank you." And he said, "I think you and I could help a lot." I said, "Help a lot like what?" And I said, "You like to help people." I said, "That's why I'm here." He said, "But you're all by yourself. There's no entourage." And I said, "Well, I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He's the only entourage I really need." And he said, "Well, I want you to keep this card and call me anytime." I said, "Well, thank you, sir." I had no idea who he was. But when I got in the taxi to go back across to Western Berlin, I looked at his card, and he was the chief negotiator for the Kremlin for all Christian and Jewish situations in Eastern Europe. I had no idea. But had I sat down with him, been religious, and, you know, threatened him, and the Lord's going to bring damnation upon you and upon the Kremlin and Brezhnev and all the rest of the Nevs, and it wouldn't have worked. So don't ever lose sight of who you are in the Lord, and that who's around you doesn't need to know all that you've stored up for years. It just needs to know you love them. And then from there, the Lord will allow you to be an ambassador and to represent his kingdom. Don't ever forget, you're representing him, not you, not your church, not your organization. You're representing him. Extremely religious city. There were temples actually in Pergamos to the Greek gods and the Roman gods. And there were, interestingly enough, 3 temples that were dedicated to the worship of the Roman emperor. And this was 50 years, as you remember last week, we talked about Smyrna won the honor of building the first temple to worship Caesar Augustus. And 50 years before that, they already had these temples. So this was the province of Asia, and Pergamos means height of elevation. So on a hill, but also eagle, height of elevation. The Bible says, let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to. And our egos tell us that we should think more highly of everybody else in the room. And I'm sorry, but there's not one of us that's better than the other. And there's not one perfect room, including my person in this room. So don't ever think, because you'll never get to meet what's really going on, wherever you are, and the wonderful people that are around us. When those young ladies got up here last week from Cambodia, I saw them come in. And I was looking at them and said, wonder what their story is. And then I found out what their story was, and I thought, that's what I thought. And they belong to Jesus now. And then when that one lifted her arm and she had been tortured and they chopped her hand off and threw acid on her face, how could we think we're better than her? We have no idea what everybody else has done. You know that old saying, you never know until you walked in another man's shoes. So just don't get hung up on yourself. You're supposed to die to self, pick up your cross daily, and follow after Jesus. And Jesus doesn't lead us into self. He leads us out of self and away from self. Self has always got you and me in trouble. The height of elevation in verse 12, he who has the sharp two-edged sword. Now by now I'm sure you have realized that he gives a description of himself that introduced himself in chapter 1. And he gives it piece by piece to each church. There's two sets of verses I'm going to ask you to turn to right now. And I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to yourself to memorize them and never, ever forget them. This is why I always say, bring a pen and a notepad or something so you can write. These two verses will keep you going and they'll protect you, especially protect you. But the first one I want you to memorize, if you haven't already memorized, and I'm sure most of you have by now, Hebrews 4:12. Ready? I want you to read it out loud with me. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, underline that, the person's Bible on your right-hand side. This is what it can do. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay? You got it? Here he is with a two-edged sword. In the book of Hebrews 4:12, we realize that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, more powerful, it's a tool for you, and piercing, and the word piercing is a medical term that is used when a surgeon is actually doing surgery, and he takes his scalpel and he just doesn't whack. He comes up to your belly and he turns it and he goes down with it, or up. But there's a method to it. And God's word will pierce inside of you or whoever you're talking with. Don't ever forget that. And it divides asunder, otherwise separates, just like a doctor opening up a chest to work on the heart. It separates the soul from the spirit. That's how powerful this word is. There's nothing in the planet or in any school you can go to that could teach you as well as the Word of God. It goes in, it splits your soul, and it sets it over here, and it talks to your spirit. Then it moves your spirit, and it talks to your soul. Or it could speak to them both at the same time. But it talks where man's words don't really get too far. And it's God's Word that will get you around the world and back without any money in your pocket. To the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and then look at this. His word goes down into your joints, your elbow, your wrist, your knees, and to the marrow. The marrow in our bones is the substance that makes you and me.
With those words from Mike, we're going to pause right here in our lesson from Revelation chapter 2 and our message, The Letter to the Church at Pergamos. It's awesome to think that one day each of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior will receive a crown that later on we'll see in Revelation that we cast at the feet of Jesus. Well, as we close our broadcast for today, I would like to remind you that Chapter and Verse is heard each weekday on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Join us Tuesday as we continue our series through Revelation. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.